Studio 360.
And in Seattle, we stay kind of gloomy. It's not going to pour every day, but we'll have showers in the forecast.
The Northwest is where flying saucers, the term flying saucers was coined. The Northwest is where Louie Louie's from. The Northwest is where the Manson family used to vacation up this way. This place is weird. All this stuff is a factor in what happened in the music.
Today on the show, grab your tattiest flannel shirt and strongest cup of espresso because we are heading to the Pacific Northwest, back before everybody thought of it as cool. Gen Xers and boomers want to feel even older? Sub Pop Records is currently celebrating its 30th anniversary. They're the quintessentially indie label in Seattle that launched bands like Touch Me! Mudhoney, Soundgarden, and, of course,
one baby to another says I'm lucky to meet you. I'm talking what you think this is about me.
So if you were a rock musician back then trying to get a label deal, you might have gotten this actual form letter in the mail.
Dear loser.
That's Megan Jasper. She used to be an intern and receptionist at Sub Pop.
Dear loser. Thank you for sending your demo materials to Sub Pop for consideration. Presently, your demo package is one of a massive quantity of commendable material we receive every day at Sub Pop World Headquarters and is, due to time and volume restrictions, on its way through the great lower intestine that is the talent acquisition process. Kind regards.
Jasper was laid off during one of the company's many downturns, but then came back years later during an upturn, got promoted to general manager, then executive vice president, and now she is the CEO of Sub Pop.
Yeah, it's crazy. Starting as an intern.
30 years later, she finds the arch tone of that rejection letter less cute.
I love that we have attitude and that we weren't afraid to use it. But there's something about this rejection letter that it has never sat well with me. And it makes me feel bad for anyone who ever got it. I mean, I think of those folks getting this and just being heartbroken. And it kind of kills me. When you're a small label and you're scrappy, you can get away with attitude. It's like being a chihuahua, you know, it's expected. But if you are a 30-year-old company and in your world, you have been able to succeed in some way and you're kind of a bigger kid, you don't get to pick on someone who's smaller than you. And that actually, I think, is indicative of what 30 years will mean.
But back in the 90s, Jasper had more of a stomach for nonstop irony and mischief. Didn't we all? And never was she more deliciously mischievous than in late 1992, when she one day got a call from the New York Times. 1992 was peak grunge. It was the year that Nirvana reached number one on the Billboard chart with Nevermind. And a freelance reporter for the Times, Rick Marin, was working on a big article all about grunge music and the associated, pardon the expression, lifestyle. The Times guy called Sub Pop's co-founder, Jonathan Poneman, who declined the interview and referred him instead to his friend and laid-off ex-employee, Megan Jasper.
So at the time, I was living on Queen Anne, which is a great little neighborhood in Seattle, and I lived in this basement apartment, and I would always make a French press of coffee, and I would drink it and then make another one and drink it. And that morning, I was pretty wired, and I got a phone call from a journalist who said that they were doing a huge feature on grunge and Seattle. So then the journalist said, well, specifically, we would like to share a lexicon of grunge. You know, every subculture has a different way of speaking, and there's got to be, you know, words and phrases and things that you folks say that might be unique to Seattle. And I just figured, sure, of course there is. And, you know, there really isn't. You know, you joke around and make fun of things. And so it was definitely, I'm going to fuck with him from the get-go. And so the journalist was saying, well, let's talk about like articles of clothing. And he said, how about like, do you wear shredded denim? Or, and I said, yeah, those are wax slacks. And what about like those big sweaters that Kurt Cobain wears? And I said, we just call those fuzz. And I tried to say things that were kind of believable. You know, what about big shoes that I see a lot of the musicians wear? Those are plats. So I figured I wouldn't go too hard, you know, as far as the nonsense goes. But at some point, he was believing me so much that I started to feel bad. And I thought, I'm just going to get a little bit more outrageous. So he said, what if you're just like hanging around at home? Like, and I said, well, that's Bound and Hagged. But he wasn't laughing. And then he's like, well, what about if like you're just down and out? I was like, that's Harsh Realm. We also did Swinging on the Flippity Flop for hanging out. And that's my favorite one. He said, what if you just get hammered? And I said, that's a bloated big bag of bloatation. So I felt like it got pretty, you know, silly. I thought that this was all going to end with him going, oh, come on. And that never happened. We finished, and I just thought, whoever works with this person is going to crack up when they read this, and it will never see the light of day. Like maybe a month or so, my phone rang, and it was my mom. And my mom said, Jesus Christ, have you read the New York Times today? And I said, no. And she said, you better go down and get one. You're in it. So I ran down to 7-Eleven and I got the copy of the Times, and it was front page style section, and I could not believe that the Lexicon of Grunge was in print. There were some I noticed that didn't make the list. There was one called a tuna platter, which was a hot date. And that one never made it. So someone maybe pulled that one, but then thought the other ones were appropriate. I thought maybe I would hear from a few people about it and we would laugh. All of that happened, plus a ton of other things. There was a music magazine called The Rocket. They printed it, and then one of the local labels, CZ, made t-shirts with the Lexicon, and Mudhoney were doing interviews when they were overseas, and they were answering all of the questions using these words. And then I got a phone call from the New York Times, and it was from the style editor who was yelling at me, which, fair enough, I mean, I did lie. But then she said, I'm, you know, wondering where I can buy those t-shirts. So I gave her the information for CZ Records so that she could buy some t-shirts. It was funny and crazy, and Harsh Realm had a pretty good run. I know it became a TV show for a little while.
From the creator of The X-Files comes the most anticipated new show this year.
Welcome to Harsh Realm.
Harsh Realm, series premiere next Friday at 9, 8 Central on Fox.
It's still every bit as ridiculous today as it was 26 years ago. And I think it wouldn't be as funny if it weren't for the New York Times. You know, like if it were printed in like a local paper, it would have been here today, gone tomorrow. But that it was printed in this prestigious newspaper that I continue to love. It's pretty nuts.
Megan Jasper is CEO of Sub Pop Records, and you can see that infamous hoaxy New York Times sidebar, her lexicon of grunge, at studio360.org. Our story was produced by Studio 360's Sam Kim, with special thanks to KUOW in Seattle.